about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm gonna need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Just like my granddad taught me when I was a boy. Don't marry a German. They have monkey feet.
Thanks, good buddy. I'll keep my ears on.
Hey, you know how there are some things that are so bad that they're funny? That's not you. I don't want you thinking that that's you. You're not so bad that you're entertaining somehow, or that you have any worth, or that anybody enjoys listening to you. You're just bad. Just not funny. Just die.
And now,
hey, so that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
Our feature presentation.
Are you just waiting?
Yeah. Come on now. Well, you were already in the room.
How are you going to do me like that?
You're already in the room. I thought, let's see how this works.
But I couldn't hear anything right at first.
Kevin has been here for 5 seconds.
Maybe.
Ladies
I think you're
and
pushing
gentlemen.
It. 2.5, more like it.
That is astonishing.
I don't like to waste my time, B.
No, you don't.
Every second has to count.
Wow. Very impressive. Hey, party people, welcome on in. It is a new Kevin and Bean show for a Monday. How's everybody? How's everybody's weekend?
Still recovering from boobies.
Yeah, boobies was fun, right?
Yeah.
I don't ever recover from that. Really?
You don't want to.
No.
Let me tell you who's a baller, by the way, before I tell you about today's awesome story. Let me tell you who's a baller.
Not you?
Okay.
Oh, definitely not me.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? So after Miss Double December pageant on Friday in Fullerton at the Slide Bar, we do like we do, which was, have some lunch afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Hang out with some people we don't see, you know, and whatnot. So I had lunch with, who was there? Let me see. Dave was there.
Sure.
King of Mexico.
Chip was there.
Okay.
Intern Wendy was there.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Annelle Rivers was there. Kevin from the Kevin and Bean Archive was there. A few other people. So I'm over there having lunch with my peeps and catching up and hanging out and enjoying their delicious food. By the way, the food at the Slide Bar is so good.
It is good.
I look across. Kevin walks in. He comes up to our table, nose in the air, turns around, goes off, sits at another table.
Wait!
Not sitting with our people.
Wait,
okay?
Wait, hold on right there. I was told there would be a seat saved for me, and I glanced, and there was no seat, and I was like, no problem.
Yeah, we waited about a half an hour for Kevin, and then we gave up and just started ordering because it looked like he wasn't coming. And we were like, where's Kevin? We're waiting for Kevin. And Dave's like, oh, he's out talking to people. So eventually we gave up, okay?
All of whom were asking where Bean is, and I kept saying, I don't know, he's probably on his way to the airport.
So Kevin goes over to another table. Now Kevin's at lunch with, not his coworkers, he's at lunch with Christine, Miss Double December 2011.
Okay.
Melissa, Miss Double December 2002. Lux, runner-up for Miss Double December this year.
Really?
He's over there just throwing dollar bills in the air, man, just making it rain. He's Hugh Hefner at the Slide Bar. Every single person that's walking in, and we've all had this thought, is looking over at Kevin and going, what's that dude got going on? How did that happen? How is this the hottest table? And Kevin, I know I'm watching you, and of course you can't stop and stare at boobs. Every time you raise your eyes, there's more boobs.
It's not possible. Yeah.
It's not possible. You go from one to the other to the other
it's
to the other.
It's not that you want to, but even if you wanted to, it's
nothing
not
you can do about it. And I know all you're thinking is, A, how can this moment last forever? B, God, I hope somebody I know walks in right now, because look at me. C, take that, Robbie Joyner. I mean, all these thoughts are going to
Robbie Joyner was really the main one.
I mean, was that the most awesome lunch you've ever had in your life?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Look, God bless Dave and Chip, but I'm sitting there going, what did I do wrong? How did I misplay this situation so much?
You lose. There's no question about that, but I mean, it was a good lunch.
That was strong.
And I enjoyed their company.
Company?
I mean, you know.
I
didn't take him to the bathroom and do business.
No,
but it didn't work.
It was just hilarious. It was the classic all-time, one of these is not like the others.
This is so funny because usually everybody kind of leaves after
usually
the remote.
Usually Bean leaves, first
for
of
sure,
all.
Well, it
Bean
depends
leaves.
What time my flight is. My flight wasn't until 1, so I had time to eat. So that's why I hung out.
Basically, I'm going to save you a table. Yeah. So I said, or a seat. I said, okay, fine, that's good.
And our Miss Double D's who don't win often run off in tears.
Right.
Yes.
This is just such a turnaround. Everybody stayed. They ate. They had a good time.
Everybody was having a great time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Even the contestants that didn't win were super happy that they were involved, which is great. You know,
we had such a nice group of girls.
Yes, absolutely.
All of them, and they got along.
I was hoping for some cat fighting. You know, I was hoping, hey, I'm going to steal your bikini top, so that you have to go out there without it and stuff like that.
But I was hoping that at lunch.
But unfortunately, none of that happened. But yeah, tremendous turnout. Love the slide bar in Fullerton. Love the crowd that came out. We had a really, really good time. And of course, Joanna won. And you can get a recap at krock.com, and we'll hang out with Joanna this coming weekend at Acoustic Christmas.
Let me ask the peeps that are listening, those of you that are listening, and your guys, even if you're girls, you walk into the slide bar and you look at one table, and it's got Bean and Dave the King of Mexico and that group.
Intern Wendy, right?
Right. And then you look at another one, and there's three Miss Double D's.
Right.
What do you choose? I'm saying I didn't make a very noble, bold, strong choice.
Just the obvious choice.
It's an obvious choice.
Yeah.
Hey, all of my coworkers are over there. Wait, boobs! No, you did the right thing. Like
I
said,
you were a baller, dude.
It had to be one of the greatest moments of your life.
It was.
It had to be, though.
It didn't have to be one of the greatest moments of my life. I just had lunch with him. It was great. I enjoyed it a lot.
Right. But
it's not one of the greatest moments of my life.
I'm saying when you die, on your deathbed, the last thought you're going to have is, wow, remember that time at the slide bar when I had lunch with all those boobs?
If I had closed on all those boobs, then I would have.
Like if you guys had gone to the Sheraton immediately from lunch, then you'd never stop thinking about it.
Correct.
All I'm saying is I was impressed.
All right.
Well done.
All right. I think I made the right choice. And you're agreeing. Okay. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why?
We have Miss Double D recap.
Yeah.
So those of you that were not there or were unable to watch the entire thing.
I weep for you, number one.
Oh, my God. Do we have highlights for you?
Yes.
Doto alone. Stopping by. This is America, Bean. When you hear that, you'll die.
He's the best.
He's the best. And the contestant who wants to kill a major celebrity, have sex with her and kill her,
that
was one of the most shocking things that's ever happened on the Kevin
shocking,
and Bean
yes.
show.
Yeah, it was bizarre because Ralph wrote those questions and he was like, that was a gimme. You could kill any celebrity.
Right. It's Rachel Ray. How do you go there?
Yeah, right? Or Justin Bieber.
Or Kardashian.
Yeah, it's a total softball question. She came back with that. Made the crowd mad. Everybody's like, hey, wait, she's hot. You're not going
to
kill her.
And when we get to the recap next hour, we'll talk about the crowd getting mad. If you didn't hear it, Kevin at one point was going to fist fight the entire audience.
Sometimes you have to stand up for what you believe.
Kevin was this close to wading into that audience to just start throwing punches.
Yep. And I'm not sure they didn't deserve it.
Thank you, Lisa. You would have been with me, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Liar.
You know I'm a brown belt.
You're a mob belt or whatever it is you are. Andrew Siciliano will be on the program today.
All right.
Tebow!
We have Jonah Hill on the program today.
Why?
Talking about Babysitter or Sitter. What's the name of the movie? It looks so good.
The Sitter, I think.
The Sitter.
Looks so funny.
We also have Bean's Death Corner.
Why?
We have LaQuisha taking a look at Courtney and Kim take on New York.
Oh, she's not going to be happy that she's been asked to do that. Oh, she hates stupid white people.
Yeah. And are they the worst of this?
They're the worst.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Jersey Shore? I don't know. I mean, when you're talking stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a tough call. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
And your tickets in the pit for the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. In the pit.
That's this weekend,
kids. That's this weekend, right. So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Jonah Hill joins us to talk a million things that he has going on right now. He's the busiest man in show business right now.
He is.
Yeah, Ralph, have you seen his new animated Fox series, Alan Gregory? Have you seen that? He's got that?
I'm sorry. I just saw you with the glasses.
Okay.
I hadn't looked beforehand. I should look right away when I come in the room.
Yeah.
Get used to it. Get the laughter over with.
You'll never get used to it. You'll never stop laughing.
But I just looked up and I was like, hey.
He was in Moneyball. He's got the Sitter movie. He's filling in for Regis this week. The dude's just got a million things going
on
right now.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And that's the most impressive part to be. He's filling in for Regis.
Are you kidding me?
And he's in that commercial for Call of Duty.
He is.
Well.
Yes.
Awesome commercial.
He's Mr. Call of Duty.
Sam Worthington.
Got a lot to talk to Mr. Hill about coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, though, time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
I couldn't help but listen this morning and hear Bean tell you how your lunch, Kevin, was the greatest moment of your life.
Yeah.
This is why it's creepy Bean. He doesn't understand how he perpetuates the stereotype.
That wasn't a creepy story.
That must have been the greatest moment of your life. You ate with pretty girls.
But I'm saying for Kevin, and it would have been for me, too, you look around at that table and you go, hey, how is this happening?
Right,
how do I know this many hot chicks?
But it's a meal. You know that, right? It's food.
Meal. air quotes, meal.
No, air quotes at all. Just regular meal.
I think Ralph's
just
point
lunch.
Is when I die on my deathbed, I'm not going to look
it's
back and go, I think
one
you
of
will.
The biggest moments of his
life.
It was
a hell of a lunch.
The birth of his children. I mean, there's a lot of things. I'm just ahead on that list.
Depends
I'm saying.
About the dessert.
Yeah, there's no dessert,
I'm
air
just,
quotes. It was
just
eating.
Saved.
I'm sure it was a very pleasant lunch,
yes.
But it was not the greatest moment
going on
of his
under
life.
The table. That's
just
all
take
I'm
it
suggesting.
Easy, dude.
It's creepy.
Have you never eaten lunch with hot chicks?
I don't know any hot chicks. Wasn't like that.
It's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. No major releases this past weekend, so everything pretty much stayed status quo. And that means Twilight, Breaking Dawn Part 1.
Her eyes turn red.
Remains number one at the top of the list with $16.9 million this weekend.
She's a vampire.
The Muppets stayed at number two with $11.2 million. Then Hugo in 3D was third. Arthur Christmas, fourth. Happy Feet, two. Came in at number five. Jack and Jill was number six. Really, people? Mm. No one? You haven't caught on yet? You still going? The Descendants was seventh. Immortals, Tower Heist, and Puss in Boots. That rounds out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. One conservative blogger is claiming that Happy Feet 2 isn't doing as well as the original because it's too liberal.
What?
Apparently, the plot of the film emphasizes the effect of global warming on the penguins. And the critic says it was far too liberal, and that's why people aren't going the way they went to the first film.
But aren't there actual, isn't there proof of penguins and polar bears having a smaller area to live in because
of global
warming?
Hold on, you're talking science?
You and your lamestream
media.
No, but
media. I'm saying, isn't that a legitimate plot point?
It's the jury's still out on global warming.
Not to the penguins who are swimming because there's no ice.
Open up a blog.
Guy also claims that Cars 2 pulled in 22% less at the box office because its villain was the oil industry. That was the bad guy in that movie. That was too liberal.
Right, because people do root for the oil industry.
They do.
It's true.
He says, whatever. These messages might have worked back in 2006 when there was a backlash against conservatives. But in 2011, no one buys it anymore, so no one's going to see those movies. Because you know how the five-year-olds feel about their political partisanship.
Sure. They do, yeah.
Mommy, I don't want to go see Happy Feet 2 because I'm still waiting on more scientific evidence about global warming. All right, Jimmy.
Look, even if everybody's wrong about global warming and it doesn't exist, it can still be a plot point that penguins are hot, right?
Nope.
You can still make a movie if you want.
Penguins are hot, though, too. I'd like to do a penguin.
It's the best movie I've ever seen in my life.
Kate Major, former girlfriend of Michael Lowen. This is the one he kept threatening that sent him back to jail.
Yep.
She's no box of chocolates either, by the way. She has disappeared.
Oh, thank God. My wishes have been answered.
She was in a hospital over the weekend. She checked in after suffering a seizure. Then she apparently left in the middle of the night from the medical facility with no money, no phone, no credit cards. She's been in the news lately for her erratic behavior and checked into a rehab last month that she checked herself out of. But no one knows where she is. She got up and left from the hospital in the middle of the night. So she's on her own.
Nobody look for her.
Check Vaseline Alley.
Don't check Vaseline Alley. Check the set of Life Changers. I think she may have gone back for another special episode with Judge Drudy. That's where I think she may be heading.
Right?
And you guys watching The X Factor and all?
Not even a little bit.
Nope.
I don't think I've seen one episode of The X Factor. In fact, I can confirm positively I've never seen an entire episode of the
X Factor. I was interested in it. I liked Simon Cowell. I missed him on American Idol. I thought I was going to watch it.
I did, too. I was interested in leading up to
right.
And then it started airing.
It started airing, and I started hearing it was okay. And then I got behind because every episode is like 2 freaking hours, and there was just no way I was going to commit that much time.
But isn't that a show you can just watch the latest one and pretty much catch up?
There's
no plot.
You want to be invested in the people if you watch.
Yeah, you got to kind of start right from the beginning so you root for your favorite.
I think American Idol is enough for me. Once a year is fine.
I'm not a fan of AI either. Why do you bring up this one?
They lost me when they started having the performers perform at the homes of the judges in their backyards.
Oh, dear.
What?
I thought that was an odd choice.
What?
Yeah, you had to go and like perform in Simon Cowell's patio.
Is this just a way for Simon Cowell to show how rich he is?
I think it is. I think all the judges got a chance to show off their spectacular digs.
And Paula Abdul can take
episodes.
Whoever she wants of the group.
That's right.
Right there at home.
Right there in the bedroom. Anyway, Drew Renuzic? I don't know. One of the competitors on the show, a 14-year-old, was booted last week. And apparently, his or her fans are furious. And are now Nicole Scherzinger and Paul Abdul are getting death threats.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
But really?
And they're also being called filthy names on Facebook and Twitter since the decision came down.
Okay.
And apparently they're shocked and frightened by the abusive messages.
From 8-year-olds.
From 8-year-olds, yeah.
Huh.
Paula, it said, is so shocked. She actually cut her pain medication in half.
What?
Just so she could be more aware in case someone comes to attack her. But people are taking this very seriously. I didn't know it was such a success that people cared that much. But maybe there's a whole passel of X Factor fans out there.
I think it has done very well. I think it's about 13 million an episode right now.
I'm tired of people not treating me like the gift that I am.
The gift that you are. Let's take a look at celebrity crime, shall we? Brooke Mueller, ex-wife of Charlie Sheen, was arrested Friday at a nightclub in Aspen, Colorado for cocaine possession with intent to distribute.
And what celebrity was she with, to put this in the news?
Well, she's a celebrity. She's Charlie's ex. She was famously connected with Charlie in Aspen, Colorado. Remember that Christmas?
Yes.
They spent just the three of them, Brooke, Charlie, and a knife.
Yes.
Now, was she one of the goddesses, Ralph?
She was not one of the goddesses. Okay. She came into the goddesses for a while, and then she left the goddesses again. She is the mom of Charlie's twins, and she has been booked on cocaine possession, a felony count of that with intent to distribute, and a misdemeanor third-degree assault.
How do they know intent to distribute? Is it just the amount?
Yeah, it's just,
you have?
Just the amount.
So if you have enough, you're planning on using it all, but you have a lot.
And knowing Brooke Mueller, she probably was. But she had such a large amount, over a certain amount, it varies from state to state, over a certain amount, they assume, they call it a felony amount versus a misdemeanor for personal use, because it looks as if you have enough that you're going to sell.
Got it.
Right. That's how they get you.
It'd be awesome if your defense was, seriously, Your Honor, I was going to use it all.
That's right.
Oh, yeah?
I'm a big, big coke fiend.
Let's see you do it now, then.
All right. Somebody get me a razor blade or credit card, whatever you have. She was released on bail. A woman came up to cops that night and said apparently that Brooke beat her up. So they started looking for Brooke, found her in another nightclub, arrested her, and that's when they found the cocaine. Hmm. So she is spectacular.
She's a party.
She is a good time.
I can't believe she wasn't at lunch with Kevin.
In her defense, coke is yummy.
That's our slogan, right?
That is our slogan here. And while we're talking about physical violence and celebrities, Khloe Kardashian in the news. Khloe apparently assaulted a woman who used to be a man named Chantal Spears. Chantal, formerly Ronald Spears, says she needed medical care and suffers from severe mental anguish since the attack from Khloe Kardashian. Chantal made the mistake of talking to Lamar Odom at a nightclub in Hollywood in 2009.
Oh, no, she didn't.
I was telling Lamar Odom maybe he's too young to get married, and all of a sudden I felt this big push from a big girl. That big girl turned out to be Khloe Kardashian, and now she is suing for an unspecified amount.
Doesn't it seem that Khloe Kardashian should be nice to transgenders?
I think it's a fair fight. A woman who used to be a man and a woman who's currently a man.
Yeah.
I think that is completely a fair fight, I think.
Those are her people.
And they should put it on pay-per-view. That's what they should do. Speaking of pay-per-view, did you catch the fight Saturday night?
Cotto?
Yeah.
I did.
That's a honked up eye that he's Margarito's working on these days.
Yeah. You know the 24/7
he might want to stop.
24/7 show on HBO, all it was about was his eye. Is eye okay? Is eye better?
That turned out to be the difference in the fight.
Guy hits him in the eye once and it just falls apart.
Punching him in the eye over and over again. I was waiting for the Rocky moment where they had to get a razor blade. Cut me, Mick.
They would have to cut the eye
cut
out.
Cut his lid.
It was gross.
That was a rough fight.
Yeah. I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
That's right. I'd kick your ass, Larry Merchant. Today's celebrity birthdays. We're going to have to tell our security guard, Charles, that Little Richard's birthday is today. Legendary rock and roll singer Little Richard, 79 years old today. Charles, our security guard, was the drummer for Little Richard's band for many years. Created the backbeat of rock and roll, more
he
or less.
Did. He's the best.
And now he's ushering in our guests. He deserves better than that. He should have the show, and we should be doing security for him.
That's true.
Little Richard, 79 years old today. Johnny Resnick of Goo Goo Dolls is 46 years old. Comedian Margaret Cho is 43 years old. Nick Stahl from Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, and other films is 32. Actress Amy Acker from Angels, 35. Singer Carrie Hilson celebrates her 29th birthday. Jessica Paré from Mad Men and the Hot Tub Time Machine, she's 29 years old. And Frankie Muniz, he was Malcolm in the middle. Now he's Malcolm on top. I don't know. It was a reach, but okay. What are you going to do?
It's
the first one of the morning. I'll warm up as the day goes on. He's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Incubus, right there on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know they're playing Saturday night, sold out. K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, Lisa. You and Brandon back together again.
So exciting.
Lisa's a little stalkery when it comes to Brandon, by the way.
Just a bit.
Your chance to pick your pit tickets to night one or night two of these sold-out shows coming up later on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, I think you're going to be very excited to hear who's on the phone.
Hey, it's Jonah Hill. Shouldn't have lost all that weight, man. Something funny about a physically fit man.
I know, it's lame, right?
Yeah, no one wants to watch Lance Armstrong do comedy.
You know what I think you should do? Take care of it. Tell me you don't want him to get an A word.
You should get a schmushmorseman at the schmushmorseman clinic.
It's not my fault your grandfather's in hell. It's not a big deal. Some grandpas go to hell.
Inside.
When I was a little kid, I kind of had this problem. For some reason, I don't know why, just kind of sit around all day and draw pictures of
like a man.
Yeah.
You know why I'm stressed out? Because I'm on Atkins and I've been eating all day because every reporter comes in here and asks me what it's like to be unattractive, and I want to sit here and kill you right now. I literally, my dream right now is to get out of this chair and knock your teeth out of your head.
I have to sneeze.
What?
I have to sneeze, but I'm terrified that my bowels will evacuate if I do.
That is not how I wanted to start today. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a renaissance man. Jonah Hill's in every project in the world right now, yet still makes time for his old friends Kevin and Bean on the phone here on K-Rock. Hey, Jonah, how are you, man?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Going great. Good to talk to you. You sound tired. You all right, dude?
No, I'm great. I'm happy to be back. You guys have always been the best towards me since day one.
Well, you're
happy to be on.
We find you funny, fat or thin.
Oh,
how about that? Jonah, I remember when we had you on a couple of months ago talking about Moneyball. And by the way, congratulations on what a phenomenon that became.
Thanks. Yeah, we need to update that reel to have a little more classiness to it.
Yeah, exactly. And you told us at the time, dudes, it's not coming out for 2 months. But when you see The Sitter, you guys are going to love it. Well, it's finally here, finally open up on Friday. The Sitter is here. This is one you're really actually excited about.
Moneyball too.
No, I wasn't suggesting you were.
No, you said that was sucky, if I recall. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm really excited. I mean, if Moneyball was something, completely different than I've ever done, but this is something that's more in the vein of Superbad and Get Him to the Greek, it's the most hardcore R-rated babysitting movie ever.
I love that. First of all, I love that category. And second of all, I was just so happy to see at the beginning that it was rated R, because it just seems like in the world today, they try to make everything PG-13 so they can get the biggest audience, and so then you don't get your R rating.
It was in my contract that they cannot change it to PG-13 in any way.
No kidding.
Excellent. Yeah, because basically the whole idea of the movie is like it's kind of a middle finger to those like kind of Disney like movies where it's like, you don't watch this guy babysitting your kids,
right?
Because he's going to give them candy. And we're like, no, you really don't want this guy babysitting your kids.
Yeah.
Because he's going to take them on a drug deal. By drug dealers through New York City.
Hey, how does it work, Jonah? I don't think I've ever asked this question before, but when you do an R-rated movie where there's a lot of sexuality and there's a lot of drug humor, how do they deal with the kids who are actually, 10 or something like that are working as actors in the movie? Do you have to cut it in a way that they don't actually hear or say some of that
stuff?
They're midgets. No, they're there. What? I mean, you basically just myself and the director, David Gordon Green, who directed Pineapple Express. I mean, we basically just would talk to the kids a lot. And the kids were so great. And we'd just be like, hey, guys, I would talk to them all and go, hey, I'm going to curse at you, or I'm going to pretend to be mad at you. There's going to be things that we talk about in the movie, but once we yell cut, we can't talk about those things. Like, there are rules, and it's all pretend, and we're just trying to make people laugh. And they totally got it. They were really smart, and I think they were really excited to get to hear so many curse words.
Can you imagine being the parents of those acting kids and going, oh, Jonah Hill's talking to him, I guess that'll be all right. Like, that helps.
They were really cool. They were really cool. I would do things like, if you guys behave this week, I'm going to take you to see Jackass, or I would, be like, if you guys, act really well, I'm going to get you guys some candy and stuff. And I would, go buy Halloween candy for them and stuff,
Sweet. Well, here's a clip of the film we're talking about called The Sitter, in theaters everywhere Friday. And this is exactly what we're talking about. This is Jonah going face to face with a beautiful little girl and a bottle of perfume. And I think you can see what kind of sitter he is.
Do you like to smell pretty?
Do I like to what? Ah! Oh, my God. You got it right in my mouth. Why did you do that?
You just spit on my carpet.
You
sprayed perfume in my mouth. What's your problem?
My real babysitter, Nancy. She plays with me when she babysits. Here's what I want her to do.
You know what? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I'm not a real babysitter.
Shocking.
I'm more of a sit on the couch, eat a burrito, do whatever I say or I'll kill you type of babysitter. That's my style, blood. You understand? Ah! Mother!
Hey, Jonah, now that you're a big movie star, do you get any time off for the holidays, or are you work, 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 even this time of year?
Well, we're doing a lot of stuff for Moneyball during the holiday season. You know, they just re-released it, and, you know, we're doing a lot of, like, Q&As and stuff like that for Moneyball. But I'm going to take, like, a week or two off and just chill with my family and friends.
Is part of the reason you do Moneyball stuff now, even though it's been out for a long time, is so that you can try to get some Academy Award nominations for Brad and whatnot?
I don't know. I think we just do it because they ask us to, and we're really proud of the movie.
By the way, you carried Brad, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, I'm really proud of that movie. It's been a really, like, insane blessing for me.
I was kidding by you carried him, but you were great in that movie. I mean, I really thought you were good.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
And real quick before you go, John, I know we've thrown a lot of stuff at you, but 21 Jump Street for reals, that's coming back, and you're the man?
March 16th, 2012. Myself and Channing Tatum. It's awesome.
It's Jonah Hill's world, isn't it?
Yeah. It is Jonah Hill's world. We're just lucky to carve out a tiny slice of it every couple of months.
That movie's going to blow your mind, I'm telling you. Channing Tatum is so funny in it, it's going to... People are not going to know it. It's like kind of like when... I feel like it's like when James Franco did Pineapple Express.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because you're just not expecting it, and I think Channing is really going to shock people. Because it's like it's kind of like a John Hughes movie meets like Bad Boys.
Love it.
So is it the tone of like when they took Starsky and Hutch, for instance, and
No,
it's not like that.
No, and I'm not dissing. You know, I like that movie. It's just a different tone. You know, it's like it's really like I just said. It's like it's like. Bad Boys meets a John Hughes movie.
Fantastic. All right, Moneyball's in theaters now. The Sitter opens everywhere on Friday, and then March 2012 for 21 Jump Street. Like I said.
Thank you guys for having me on, as always.
You bet, man. Love catching up with you. Have a fantastic holiday season, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
You too. Next time in L.A., I got to come in.
Yes, please.
Love it.
A strange ending to a song, isn't it?
It is.
Not him, right? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 26 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Congratulations to Joanna. She is Miss Double December 2012. If you have not yet taken the time, go to krock.com or kevinabean.com. You can check out a bunch of photos from the live broadcast we did at the Slide Bar in Fullerton on Friday. I think, if they haven't already, I think they're putting up the video package, too, the video highlights as well. That happens today. And we'll, of course, see Joanna at Acoustic Christmas this weekend. That's one of the prizes that she won, was tickets to both nights. She was delightful. And we had a really good time out there.
Yeah, we have some highlights for you. The first one is the very first second we came on the air. Because our mics were on and we didn't know it. So if you're not up at 5:30 every morning, Bean does an open for the show where he plays a bunch of clips back to back. And then we start talking live. Well, we didn't know our mics were on, so we were talking while the clips were playing. And this is all going on the air.
I think we're
going
to give
it. Are we on? Is that it?
Is it? We found it up?
But I have to figure out where to route it.
Beer Bud gives us the last 2 seconds of the song. That's how this broadcast is going to go.
Mambos.
Excellent.
Didn't know the mics were on.
We are professional.
This is Joanna singing a beautiful, beautiful, what I think should be Hollywood's a Christmas standard.
They like my rack so much, they asked to triple team. If I win today, I will jump for joy. I'll shake, shake, shake my big, huge cans like a wrapped-up Christmas toy. Oh!
So that was good.
And by the way, the voting was very close among the girls at the top. And I think Joanna's enthusiasm for that song and how filthy it was, I think, garnered her a lot of votes online. Because remember, people were voting right up until 9 o'clock.
It was an ugly audience, though. There was
and then every time she came back out, they started chanting, triple team, triple team, triple team, which I thought, no girl wants that to follow her around.
A and B, we don't know what that means.
And there, she is gobbling her fist. It is actually in the mouth, and now it is out of the mouth.
Now, at this point, people started booing, and I wasn't sure why. I couldn't see that she hadn't put her fist in her mouth completely, but they were booing. They were not going to have any part of that.
This was the contestant, I don't recall her name, who hula hooped and then swallowed her own fist at the same time.
Yes. Yes,
and I guess the audience, she had her butt to us, so we couldn't see this, but I guess the audience was upset that her whole fist didn't go in her mouth.
While hula hooping.
Megan, how dare you?
How dare you?
What can they possibly be booing?
are
you
we?
You people, stop it! I love her!
What do they want?
So then we turned on the audience, and then they turned more on us.
It became a mob scene.
This girl who was a speller, we didn't have any heads up that part of the spelling was the taking off of the clothes. And once that happened, we weren't really that concerned with whether she spelled correctly or not.
B-R-I...
Brilliant is the word.
L-L...
What's happening here?
She's
taking her shirt off. Does that help her spell?
T?
She forgot the I before
I don't
the
care.
A.
Yeah. Shut up.
That was beautiful, Michelle, by the way. The greatest speller ever, as far as I'm concerned.
And the biggest stickler for spelling, Bean, had no idea she spelled it wrong.
Didn't care.
I love that so much.
Did not care at all.
This happened. So that happened.
That was one of our Miss Double D finalists who was on her hands and knees barking like a dog. And she did it in studio when she came in last week, too. And I still don't know how that's a talent.
Well, I don't either.
Can anyone do that at about age 3?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But can they
and
do
she
it?
Looked very angry when she did it.
She did.
So.
I was believable.
She was on all fours, though.
She was a better actress than that singing dog in the highlight, the Twilight movie, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I saw the dog.
So then, Ralph. What's Ralph asked this question.
Everybody would you like to kill if you knew you could get away with it?
I would murder Angelina Jolie.
What?
No, wait. What?
So... That was shocking because Ralph told us later, you know, that's a softball. That's like Justin Bieber, any of the Kardashians.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch you can pick from.
How do you pick Angelina Jolie?
Who doesn't like her?
It was a total shock.
Jealousy?
Maybe.
First, I would f*** her. Then I would murder her.
All right.
Okay, that's the alcohol talking right there.
One for two. But what?
Yeah.
That was one of the most surreal moments that's ever happened in a pageant. Like, who wants to kill Angelina Jolie? And if you're in a position to have sex with Angelina Jolie, as she was saying, you don't kill her. You keep her alive so you can do it again.
Right? Yeah, I would think so too. But apparently that wasn't the plan. She was going to do it and then murder. He was there. We don't have time for highlights now of Doto.
Oh, come on.
We don't have
that
time
was the
now.
Best part of the whole show.
We don't have time now.
Well, we could... The International Man of Mystery.
I have a lot of clips if you want to continue this. Doto showed up and a lot of things happened. I got angrier with the crowd. They got angrier with me.
You did threaten to fist fight them.
So it's up to you. We can continue.
It was good times.
All right. We'll take a break.
Whole lot of show coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including your choice of pit tickets for either night. Your choice for this weekend, Saturday and Sunday's 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Also, our old friend Psycho Mike. You should be sweating right now, beer mug. Psycho Mike, back on the show later on today. Apparently, he's got some big TV special involving the American Chopper show. So we'll talk to him coming up and more highlights from the Miss Double December pageant as well.
Yesterday was our big friends and helpers charity wrapping day. Mm-hmm. And everybody dropped off families and it was a huge success. Thanks to everybody that came out. It was amazing.
People dropped off families? Is that how it works?
That's how we say it. The families give out lists and then the people shop for the list and then they bring the wrapped gifts for the families.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
That's how it works. But thanks to everybody that came out. Thanks to everybody that dropped stuff off in Orange County. And it was amazing, amazing. Again, every time we mention it, the listeners are crazy generous.
Yeah.
Crazy generous.
They crash your website every
time. There was
time.
One woman that said I wasn't going to do it because I just didn't have any money. And then I saw on the list that she was asking for shampoo. And how do you ask for shampoo for Christmas?
Yeah.
So she went out and bought shampoo and brought it. It was really amazing.
And even though the event that you did yesterday is over, you can still go to krock.com and just click on the link for friends and helpers, and you can still contribute.
Yes, you can contribute, yeah. But then I got home just in time to watch the end of the Arizona Cardinals game. And I'd like to thank the Dallas Cowboys for being the dumbest team on the planet. Now, Lisa, I don't know how familiar you are with football, but at the end of the game, when they come down to kick a field goal, there's a lot of pressure on the kicker. And so what'll happen is the opposing side, the other team, will let them get ready, let them get set up, and just before they snap the ball, just to F with the kicker, they'll call a timeout, the other team.
Oh, really?
And they call it icing the kicker.
Okay.
So now the kicker has to figure out, like, now, I got to do it again. I got back in the mind space.
And that's such a psych game, right? Because
it's kind of BS, but all teams do it.
Every single team. If you've got a timeout you can burn, you just want to disrupt and distract the other kicker.
Right. So I get home just in time to watch Arizona, and they're tied. And by the way, Arizona blows, but they're tied with Dallas, 13-13. Gets down to the end of the game. They're going to kick a field goal. The ball is snapped, but the whistles start blowing. The kicker follows through and kicks the field goal. It goes through. It's good.
Okay.
Doesn't count because the Dallas Cowboys coach called a timeout.
What?
Not the Arizona Cardinals.
Wait a minute. So Dallas was kicking?
Yes.
You're kidding.
And so Dallas iced their own kicker.
What?
I don't know.
Was it just habit?
I don't know. I don't know if he didn't think they were ready, but the kicker did follow through and did make it, but it didn't count.
Man.
Oh, my God. And they would have won the game.
Yep. So, and remember, Calais Campbell has blocked 3 field goals this year, and the kick will not count.
Team timeout. Dallas.
It's Dallas calling the timeout.
So then they call a timeout. No one knows why. They get back up in the setup.
No good. So Bailey, who kicked a successful 49-yarder only to have the timeout by Jason Garrett, force him to do it again, misses.
Yes, and it goes into overtime.
If he murders that coach, yes. I wouldn't blame him a bit.
Well, they'll get a Texas jury, I bet. Gabe goes into overtime. Arizona wins.
Unbelievable.
they had to have asked the coach in the post game why he did it. What happened?
I didn't hear. I was just so happy to see that they're dumbasses. And we need to remember to bring this up to Cousin Sal, who is a huge Dallas Cowboys fan.
Yes.
We need to remember to bring that up to him because what a dumbass move that was.
You think you've seen every possible way there is to lose in the NFL. Yeah. There have been enough games. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Well, I've never seen the kicker follow through and kick the field goal. It was that close.
Right.
You know, the call, the timeout was that close. So he literally did kick it and it went through and didn't count. And then he had to do it again and he missed.
That's fantastic.
Man, I feel so bad for him.
You know, ordinarily the kicker would feel terrible because,
right.
You know, they lost the game for their team. In this case, the guy's got to go, look, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Nice job, Dallas Cowboys coach. Thank you for being 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ and it's 6:53.
Sean emails us, hey guys, longtime fan. I've been listening since the beginning. I still think of Ralph as Ralph the new guy and keep wondering if Mr. Bertram is ever coming back. Well, here's why I'm writing. I think it is now time to begin discussing the very real possibility that Kevin will have to cough up $1,000 or more for the Broncos when they win the Super Bowl on that betting ticket he lost for the listener from Las Vegas.
Yes.
I'm just saying, yours in Tebow, Sean. What about that, Kevin?
At the beginning of the season, I wanted to put money on Arizona to win the Super Bowl, which I always do because it's long odds. And this listener wrote me and said, I want to put money on Denver as well. So Muggs went, I think, and he went and he put the money on it. And then he brought the tickets back and he gave them to me. And then the woman says, I'm going to come in and get my ticket. I said, okay. She came down. I didn't have it. I couldn't find mine. I couldn't find hers.
I couldn't find my tickets or key card to get in the building.
But she gave me her money. So now my point was, like, at the beginning of the season, now I'm going to have to cover it was 60-1, I think. So $1,200.
Yes.
But it was to win the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
So they haven't done that yet. But
no,
it
they haven't.
Sure looks
well,
more...
they are in first place, though.
They are Jesus's team.
At the beginning of the season, they were like 0-4. I was like, good, that's off my plate. I don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, Tim Tebow comes.
I am rooting for them so hard,
please
too.
Don't. Look, you're out, Ralph. I'm out. Let's all go. Let's all lean on Denver, man. I want Kevin to have to write that check. It would be the best.
No.
Come on. People, I thought you were my friends.
Nope.
Hey, if you want to choose your night for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, you can call right now, 1-800-520-106. Then we'll be on hold for a few minutes. We'll give you a chance to win them. We got a new game to play right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Because it is Monday morning, I always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And because there were no major new releases this weekend, the movies are pretty much as they were last weekend. Not a lot of people spent time in the theaters this weekend, though, oddly enough. Maybe they were busy shopping.
Could be.
Doing stuff like that. Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1, still number one in the box office, but only $16.9 million this weekend. The Muppets were number two with $11.2 million, then Hugo in 3D, Arthur Christmas, and Happy Feet 2 rounded out the top five. Jack and Jill, The Descendants, Immortals, Tower Heist, and Puss in Boots.
How many weeks in a row have you said Jack 10. And Jill in that top 10?
It's
how many weeks?
It's bulletproof. I'm afraid to look at how much money it's made in its release so far because I'm sure it's hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's awesome.
You know it's Adam Sandler in a wig, right?
Right.
Going, oh, I want to stay with you for the holidays. That's how he pretends to be a woman
yep.
in that film.
We keep up with stuff like this maybe more than the average person. There must be millions of people out there who don't read reviews, haven't seen the commercials, and just go, "I don't want to go see. Well, Adam Sandler's got a new movie out. That might be all right. Let's go see that."
Yeah, but then the other person says, "Well, you know, he dresses up in a wig and pretends to be his own twin sister, right?" Well, and then the other person goes, "Oh, I did not know that. Okay, let's not go see that then." It's another 4-second conversation.
I can't explain
that
it.
Fixes that
problem. I can't explain otherwise. Why are people going to see it? They must not know how bad it is or what it's about.
There are a lot of people. There are a lot of people that don't read reviews. I think, and don't.
You don't need to. You don't need to, Kevin. All I need to know.
I'm
is
with you.
Adam Sandler's wearing a wig, playing his own twin sister.
I'm with you.
I don't need a review for that. I just need eyes.
I go to most Adam Sandler movies, but I saw the preview and was like, "This is going to be terrible." No thanks. But apparently, that didn't happen.
Get my bags. I'm staying with you for the holidays. I'm a girl.
I hope they make a sequel with that character and Little Nicky together.
Oh, sweet Jesus in heaven.
Sweet Tebow in heaven.
Let's talk about good movies, shall we? I'm looking forward to the Star Trek II. The second film in the J.J. Abrams reboot of the classic franchise. And it looks like Benicio Del Toro will be playing the villain in Star Trek II. There had been rumors because the rumors were largely produced by the scuttlebutt around the film itself, saying that Benicio Del Toro would play an existing villain from the Star Trek mythology that we've already known. He will play that villain.
Right.
So people were immediately thinking, Khan!
DJ Omar Khan.
No, not DJ Omar Khan. No, Khan Noonien Singh. Of course.
Well, of course.
The evil, evil man
from
played by...
From the depths of hell, I...
Of course you would know his whole name. Ricardo Montalban played him, of course, on the TV series and then came back for the feature films. JJ says this week it will not be Khan, however, and we will not see the Wrath of Khan as played by Benicio Del Toro.
Are we glad about that or sad about that?
I'm kind of glad.
Okay.
Because you don't want to Benicio Del Toro, who can understand what the hell he's saying?
Yeah. You need subtitles.
Stab at thing. The death, breath, and spit at thing. Speak up, Benicio. And shower when you get a chance.
Please.
So they're guessing now Klingon. He'll be a Klingon. Which is perfect because you can't stay with the Klingon.
Right.
That.
It's true.
Doesn't even have to learn that language.
Doesn't have to learn. It just has to mumble the way he does. And now we know. So hopefully he'll be a Klingon.
You think Roland, our friend Roland, speaks Klingon?
Oh,
yes.
He must, right?
Fluently.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yes. You know, you haven't read Shakespeare until you read it in the original Klingon. Johnny Depp's security team's a little overzealous. TMZ.com is reporting that a woman named Robin Ecker is complaining that she was at the Iggy Pop show in Los Angeles at the Palladium last Thursday night when she got a little close to Johnny Depp, at least according to his bodyguards, which pounced on her, grabbed her wrist, and wrestled her to the floor.
Wow!
Ms. Ecker recovered from the shock, headed to the emergency room, and promptly filed a police report.
What was she doing? Was she trying to stab and kidnap Mr. Depp?
Apparently she was dancing too close. This is her version of the story.
Oh, yeah!
She filed a police department. However, law enforcement insiders claim she was wasted at the time. Mm. So she may not have as much of a case as she would like if she was obviously impaired and perhaps was acting recklessly towards Johnny Depp.
Hey, Jack Sparrow, give me some rum.
You're a pirate.
Hey, what's eating gummy grape?
Yeah, I doubt she said that.
Noxious, loaded bitch on the dance floor.
They should have killed her.
I don't know about
that. I don't know the story at all, but I'm suggesting they should have murdered her. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Frankie Muniz, he was Malcolm in the Middle. He's 26 years old.
He's a race car driver now, right,
Ralph? Yeah, he's a multi-million dollar race car enthusiast, and he does race his own cars, and he's got a lot of money. Made a lot of money from Malcolm, turns out. Jessica Paré from Mad Men. She plays
Mrs. Don Draper.
Mrs. Don Draper, yeah. The upcoming season. And by upcoming, I mean the middle of next year when we finally see new episodes.
It's crazy. It's like they're starting a new show all over again every time.
How the hell am I going to remember what happened for the past 4 or 5 years when they start again?
Same here.
Especially you can't remember week to week, but I'm saying even I am going to have a hard time recalling where we are in the storyline when we get back. But she will be his wife when they get back, and apparently things don't go well in that marriage.
Really?
Hard to believe. Married to Don Draper, things don't go swimmingly. She's 29. Kerry Hilson, the singer, is 29 years old today. Nick Stahl from Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, and other films, is 32. Actress Amy Acker, who was on Angel, 35 years old. Margaret Cho, who is a... she's a... She works in the entertainment business.
Mm-hmm. I think she's a comedian.
No.
Have you seen her work?
No.
No.
She talks on stage.
She does talk on stage. She's also a singer now, singer-songwriter, you know. She is just as talented a singer as she is a comedian. I can tell you that much right now. She is 43. John Resnick of Goo Goo Dolls is 46. And Little Richard, one of the architects of rock and roll. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
Yeah.
He invented it. He's 79 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Dear Kevin and me, what's that song called? What's the name of that? What's the name of that song that goes anything, anything?
We don't know. Stop asking us.
It's called $100 Bills. Look it up. $100 Bills in quotes on Google. Google in quotes, $100 Bills, and you'll find the song. Enjoy.
That is Anything, Anything
by Bananarama.
And by the way, Dramarama played...
$100 Bills by Bananarama.
Nope.
Look it up.
Dramarama, Anything, Anything. That band right there played the very first K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas all those years ago.
Did it? Did they go out on stage, and Silas?
Right now, we're giving away tickets to the latest. This weekend's 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Saturday and Sunday at the Gibson. You can choose your night in the pit with a game we like to call Famous Pits.
This is Famous Pits. Yeah, this is it for acoustic tits. Acoustic Christmas. This is Famous Pits where you cannot sit because you're in the pit at Acoustic Christmas. Yes, the Famous Pit. And the night you'll pick, you'll be the sh** at Acoustic Christmas.
That may be my least favorite jingle ever of Omar's.
I think I love it.
All right, Ralph, how's this one go?
This game is pretty simple, but I'm still afraid of our listeners. So let me over-explain it, if you'll indulge me.
Here we go.
I'm going to ask you a trivia question. This is general trivia. The answer will have the word pit in it.
AC/DC?
No, see, that's my problem. Do not give me any answer, even if you're guessing, without the word pit in it. P-I-T. That will be in the answer to the question.
Okay. I think that's reasonably
explained. I don't think so. I think I under-explained it still.
It's a general question, general trivia question about pits. Right?
Well, not about pits. I mean, the P-I-T, the word pit, will
Kevin,
be in the answer.
Kevin, don't make things more confusing than they are.
Jesus. It's like Kevin asking me about the runners-up at Miss Double D's. So the second runner-up, is she? What is the All first right. runner-up? Is that first place?
So if you are correct, you go into the drawing. Lisa will choose at the end and see who wins the tickets of their choice of nights in the pit.
Did I mention pit will
you
be
did.
In the
you
answer?
Did, yeah. Exactly.
All right,
we'll take them in order then.
Let's go to Hugo, who's a student at UCLA. Hugo?
Good morning, guys.
You understand that pit is in the answer?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. This person looks after the supervisors of the table game dealers in a casino.
Pit Boss.
Yes, sir. That's
see
the way it's played, Hugo.
Nicely
well
done.
AC/DC? No, see? He's a man. He gets it. Pit was in the answer.
Let's go to Miranda.
If you went to UCLA, would you be embarrassed that your team is in a bowl game with a losing record? I would.
Nope.
Okay.
I'd be happy to party in the parking lot.
Hi, Miranda.
Hi.
Hi, Miranda. Here's your question. What do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher. Right? Now, this is a very literate question, but I think you should get it because you're a teacher for our young minds, okay?
All right, let's do this.
All right. This is a famous short story written by Edgar Allan Poe about a tortured prisoner of the Spanish Inquisition.
Pit is in the answer.
Tortured Inquisition. One more time, I'm sorry.
It's a short story written by Edgar Allan Poe about a tortured prisoner of the Spanish Inquisition.
Raven.
It's a horror story, short story. Edgar Allan Poe wrote it. Very famous. A teacher should know this.
Telltale Heart.
If you teach English, I'm going to come there and give you a genital slap.
I want to be in the pit.
Famous story. I want to be in the pit.
She guessed with the word pit.
Edgar Allan Poe story. I want to be in the pit. It's called The Pit and the Pendulum is the story. The Pit and the Pendulum.
You got to go back and get a master's or something. I'm sorry, Miranda.
Sorry. Thank you. We always like to try and help out the teachers, but we couldn't there. Jason, hi.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi.
He's a purchasing manager.
How much is a manager going for these days?
Oh, man.
Don't answer
What's the headway?
Here's your question.
This famous actor first gained recognition as the cowboy hitchhiker who seduces Gina Davis's character in Thelma and Louise.
I'm sorry to say I know it's Brad Pitt.
Yes, sir. Well done. Don't be sorry. You're in the drawing.
Wait, do you know it from watching that movie?
I'm going to play the fifth.
Then you should be sorry.
He was pretty dreamy in that movie, though.
That was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
He was sexy in it, too.
Well, I don't know about that.
Alexander's a lifeguard.
Oh, must be the down season for Alexander these
days. Alexander.
Hey there, guys.
Alexander, this is another name for the flight deck from which a pilot controls an aircraft.
Really?
Really, yeah.
Lisa knows this one.
Really, Alexander?
What was the question again?
Another name for the flight deck from which a pilot controls an aircraft.
Jason. Come on.
Hold on.
You're hurting me, Jason.
Come on.
Or Alexander. You're hurting me, Alexander.
What about the guy in the airline?
Give you a second.
A second. Or Alexander.
Do you know it? Or you
have
don't.
You ever been on an airplane?
Yeah, that's too long.
Where does the pilot sit?
I don't know.
It's the cockpit. The cockpit is where.
Cockpit.
Yeah. See, you're really stupid.
That's where a pilot sits.
Let's go.
See, I told you. I'm afraid of our people.
You're right. Let's go to AJ. Hi there.
Hey.
AJ, in motorsports, when a racing vehicle stops during a race for refueling, new tires, repairs, etc., it's called this.
Pit stop.
That's right, sir. With authority.
All right. Hold on. Let's go to Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Andrew, this phrase is applied to many breeds of dog, but particularly the American Staffordshire Terrier.
That would be a pit bull.
That's correct, sir.
That would be a pit bull.
I did not know that.
Well done. Well done.
Ooh, Bean didn't know that.
Guess you don't know something?
Guess you don't like to stay current.
I guess not.
Jose, hi.
Hi.
Jose, this national natural landmark is in the heart of Los Angeles and features pools of heavy crude oil.
The Brea Tar Pit.
Yes, sir. Well done. Did you know that? Brea means tar in Spanish?
Nope.
That's why La Brea is called La Brea.
Then isn't it the tartar pits?
Yes, it is.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
I wish there should be pits of tartar sauce, really.
All right, we've got time for one more contestant. All right, this is going to be Josh. Hi, Josh.
How's it going?
Good.
Josh, here's your question. This NHL team recently celebrated the return of their concussed captain, Sidney Crosby.
The Penguins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Penguins.
That's better. Yeah.
Well, the Penguins. You have to get the pit part. But
I was confused.
Pit is in there. Well done, sir.
Hugo, Jason, AJ, Andrew, Jose. Those are all the ones who are in the drawing. Am I right about that?
And Josh.
Josh made it too. Okay. So let's find out who wins the tickets. They get to choose their night.
It is Hugo.
Hugo!
Hugo.
Hey, guys.
Everything is Hugo. I will go where you go.
Night one or night two?
With a boy like Hugo, how can I go wrong?
Whenever night one or Ralph night two. Isn't singing that is the night he wants to go.
Night one.
Night one. Thanks for playing.
That was Famous Pits. Now you got your ticks, and you're in the pit for Acoustic Christmas. Yeah!
We spent part of Labor Day weekend with the band Bush, Gavin Rosdell, walking around with his shirt off. And I'd just like to say again, for the record, kids, I have that body. But I don't feel the need to take my shirt off every time I go out in public.
Take it off. Let me see.
Well, no, that's my point. Is I have a little discretion. That's
like
a little modesty. That's all I'm saying, Gavin.
I would like to see
I'm going to say you don't have that body. And if I had that body, I would go around without a shirt on full time.
She would go to the dentist, the supermarket, auto repair,
church.
Whatever. All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Psycho Mike Catherwood joins us within an hour, telling you how you can see him on the TV. That's coming up. But first, how about a brand new Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kitties around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head.
Death. We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Most of the time, I don't care when people get us confused with each other because we sound the same, but with this particular bit, please understand, this is not Kevin. I do not love death.
Make a note.
Is a lover of death.
Because I'm a positive person, and every time I read a story about how somebody else died, that's just one more death that isn't mine.
You're known as being a positive
person. Exactly. You can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com, and you can follow along with pictures and links and video and so much more. If you want more information on the Bean's Death Corner stories, including the parts that are too gross to put on the radio, and sometimes that happens. For instance, our first story, Kansas City, Missouri, suburban Kansas City woman left sitting in a vinyl recliner, Kevin, for so long.
No.
Emergency workers who found her fused to the chair. Described her as being a rotting corpse that was still breathing.
She was alive.
Yeah, she was alive. She was 74 years old. They had to pry her out of the chair and take her to the hospital.
Should have done the right thing.
And done what?
Put her down.
Oh, well.
They were a favor.
They didn't have to put her down because...
Like in The Walking Dead.
Shoot me! Go away!
She died later at the hospital. Oh. She had been in the chair, her son said, for only 5 days. He had not helped her to get up. He said he was just trying to do what her wishes were, which is to let her die at home. She was in bad health. She didn't want to go to the hospital. She wanted to be able to die at home. So he said, okay, Mom, I'm going to let you die at home. I'm just going to leave you here in this chair. He would bring her food, but she was not able to get up to go do any of the things that people need to do. So you can imagine what that scene was like when the EMTs showed up.
And you don't fuse in 5 days.
No,
I'm sorry.
She was there for a lot longer than that.
See, that's ugly.
Police who searched the home took prescription drug bottles and pills, a section of the recliner, and a soiled towel for their investigation.
What's your next story? You have another story?
Well, the next story, Kevin, is a place maybe you've been. In Studio City, the California Pavilion is the shopping center there on Ventura Boulevard. They got a California Pizza Kitchen there. They got a Jamba Juice, regular old shopping center. A couple of mornings ago at 7:15 a.m., passerby noticed that there was a man's body in the outdoor fountain at the shopping center.
Oh, my God.
Which has about 6 inches of water in it.
Yeah.
What?
They found the guy drowned in the fountain at 7 o'clock in the morning. They said the body had not been there long. They're doing an investigation. They don't suspect foul play, but they're trying to figure out how a guy gets into a shopping center fountain in 6 inches of water and drowns at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Was he had a heart attack or something and fell face down because you could easily get...
But what the hell was he doing there? How random is that? I mean, my first thought is the guy must have been super drunk. But if you're drunk, you're not walking around an empty shopping center, are you?
Dude, you're walking around anywhere you can.
Well, I partly do that story just because it's a bizarre way to die in a tiny little fountain like that. And partly because it is an open investigation and they are looking for people who might have more information about how that possibly could have happened. Here's a guy, and this is not the holiday spirit at all, a 51-year-old man in Grand Prairie, Texas, hanging Christmas lights on an office building. Well, he was moving a 40-foot metal ladder from one location to another when the ladder fell backward into the power lines, electrocuting him. You know, this is the thing. Life is pretty random, and death even more so. You're hanging Christmas lights one minute, the next minute you dead. Nobody sees this coming. Nobody expects this is going to happen.
No.
So crazy. I looked over. There was a puff of smoke. I saw the ladder as it was falling, said an eyewitness. I ran as quickly as I could. I just wanted to cry. There was nothing I could do for the man. By the way, the guy hanging the lights, Deddy, his nickname is Grenade. Friends called him Grenade because he had such an explosive personality. Now it takes on a very somber meaning.
He went out the way he wanted to, I guess.
He certainly did. Italy is the site of our new Death Corner story. Three brothers suffered heart attacks on the same day. Two of them died.
No!
What?
The family has a congenital heart defect. One of them, Guido, 45 years old, was on a family picnic on the slopes of Sicily's Mount Etna volcano when he succumbed to a heart attack and died. His older brother, Alberto, who was at the same picnic, was overcome with grief on seeing him drop dead. Then he suffered a heart attack, and he died. The same day, the two victims' older brother, Salvatore, had a heart attack while he was in the hospital visiting their elderly mother, who was sick. That's the only reason he's still alive, is he had his heart attack on the same day in the hospital. Here's my favorite part of the story. There's another sibling, a sister who lives in Rome, has not yet been informed that half of her family has died because she suffers from the same congenital heart disease, and they're afraid if they tell her, then she's going to die.
You can never tell them any bad news, ever.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
How crazy is that?
She's calling and calling at Christmas and Thanksgiving, whenever they get together, you know. Hey, I'm not getting an answer from anybody.
Mom, I left a message for Guido. I didn't hear anything back, and then I called Alberto. What's up with him?
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Nobody tell your sister. And finally, Vermont is where we are. Devastated hunter. It happens all too frequently. You see this every deer hunting season.
Dick Cheney?
It's just like Dick Cheney. Three friends, longtime friends, avid hunters, are out shooting for deer. They do hit a deer.
Shooting for deer is what he said, for the record.
They do hit a deer, but the deer was not killed. The deer was wounded, managed to escape, so the men begin tracking it through the woods. Now, I'm not a hunter. I don't like hunting, but I imagine the thrill of the hunt, the adrenaline is flowing, shapes are moving here and there, your finger on the trigger, ready to find that deer, ready to kill it. So the man takes a shot. Thinks he's shooting at the deer and instead is shooting at his friend, heard his friend screaming in pain.
Oh.
The two men run over, discover their friend bleeding on the ground where he did die. The hunter who shot him, overwhelmed with grief, turns the rifle on himself and commits suicide in the woods. So how'd you like to be the third hunter who's out there with two guys? 5 minutes ago, I'm out hunting with my buddies. Now two of them are dead, and I'm standing there going, this is not going to look good for me.
Wow.
Right?
You clean them up and eat them, right? Where'd you get all this meat?
The woods.
Where's Bobby Joe?
That's a fantastic idea. And this is an all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Florence and the Machine playing. The 22nd annual sold-out K-Rock Almost Goes to Christmas. You can watch it online if you're a fan of her and her band and the new album she has. You can check it out on Saturday or Sunday night.
Doesn't sound like you were completely confident with that information.
I wasn't, but then Sunday night, I looked over and glanced.
Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone and his show on the NFL Network joins us to talk all things NFL coming up later on. And we'll check in with the TMZ Newsroom, plus talk to Psycho Mike coming up in about 20 minutes. First, though, I'm not a big fan of the Kardashians. I don't watch any of their TV shows. It's kind of hard to avoid them in the news because there are so many stories that involve all of the girls, particularly Khloe, who's all over the news right now. We got a fist fight to talk about. We got a pregnancy in the family to talk about. We love to catch up with our friend Khloe, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Khloe.
Who's on, man?
Oh, I'm sorry. We were holding for your wife. Is this Lamar?
Yeah, it's Lamar Odom.
Hi, Lamar. Hey, congratulations on the NBA being back, dude.
Christmas Day, man.
Yeah.
Christmas
Day.
Merry Christmas.
Very exciting for you.
It's beginning to look a lot like Lakers.
Yeah. Congratulations. We're very excited.
Balls are in our hands.
Wow, easy.
We'll be shooting at the hoop.
Can we maybe talk to Khloe?
Maybe do a loop-de-loop. While you're in the stands.
Good. All right, good.
We covered the NBA now. Let's move on and talk to the Kardashians.
Lamar, down the floor.
We have very limited time.
All the Lakers playing the game like we did before.
Okay,
hey, right. Jingle balls dribbling down the floor.
Thank you, Lamar.
Shooting two or maybe three. That doesn't really rhyme.
How about your wife? Just put your wife on the phone.
What's that?
Could we talk to Khloe, please?
You want Khloe?
Yeah.
You sure with Khloe?
Yes.
We've never called once for you.
I'm dreaming of a basketball Christmas.
Just put your wife on the phone if you would, Lamar.
You guys are no fun, man.
Sorry.
Khloe, the one I'm talking about with you. Khloe, come here.
Okay. Ouch. Uh-oh. Here she comes. Wow. Big girl.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Ellen. How are you?
Nope. Kevin and Bean this time, Khloe.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Brian.
Nope. Still Kevin
Hi,
and Bean.
Hi, Carson.
Yes, Kevin and Bean right here.
I don't know who you are.
We've talked to you like 20 times, Khloe.
I'm very busy. I talk to a lot of people. Doesn't mean I know everybody.
Okay. This is K-Rock. I don't think you'd like it anyway. So how are you?
I'm great. Couldn't be better. The Kardashians are the best family ever.
Well,
and we're so strong and we support each other and love each other.
Well, I don't know if all that's true. What about this lady/man who's taking you to court for an assault charge? What happened with him, her?
Listen, are you talking about Chantal?
Chantal Spears, yes.
Chantal Spears is not a nice lady.
Okay.
And she's trying to say that we had a fight. But really, it was just me hitting her. It wasn't so much a fight. So she lies, first of all.
That's probably not going to help your case any.
She says that back in December of 2009 on the Sunset Strip, you guys got into an altercation. She is now suing you for unspecified general and punitive damages and medical expenses. What happened that night?
Well, first of all, she should have thought twice before getting near my man, okay? Because I'm very protective. And there's only one mannish woman in Lamar's life. And that is me, okay?
So
she was just talking to him?
Well, that's one word too many, in my opinion.
Oh, okay, but your husband...
So I took her out of the knee. I clipped her.
Right, but your husband is famous, and it's inevitable that when you guys go out, there are going to be people who are basketball fans who are going to want to say hi and shake a Lakers hand.
She had that look in her eye when she was around him. I can tell when other women look at my man that way.
Right.
She had that look in her eye that says, this is a fella who doesn't mind a woman with a penis. And she was making her move. And that's me. I'm the only woman with a penis in his life.
Okay.
I won't stand for it.
So you did what you had to do.
Isn't that how you feel, baby? It's beginning to look a lot like Lakers. Hey, he won't stop singing that song.
Oh, man.
He seems excited.
Walking around the house singing, it's driving me crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Since you brought up your penis, and that's a delicate issue, and we didn't want to say anything about it, Khloe, but the other story that came out the last few days is that your beautiful sister, Courtney, is pregnant again.
Oh, yes. And the whole family couldn't be more happy.
Well, but haven't you and Lamar been trying to have a child for some time, though? Isn't this kind of a sensitive issue for you that now she's pregnant again and you haven't had one yet?
We have. We've been trying to get pregnant, and it is a little disappointing,
but
I look at Courtney and I say, that is just a miracle. I guess it makes a loving mother, and it takes a drunken loser of a white trash father in order to have a baby.
Yeah, your whole family seems to hate him, and rightfully so.
Well, he is pretty despicable.
Yeah.
But we're glad they're bringing another child into the world.
But why? That just seems like she should be getting away from Scott Disick, not bonding with him with more kids.
Because we believe the more kids she has, when they grow up and get older, they will turn on him and murder him.
I see.
So
it increases the odds.
So you're raising a posse.
Yeah, it's pretty much. Revenge is a dish best served cold, I found.
I've heard that.
So we'll wait till they're in their 20s, and then they can kill him.
What do you think the problem is with you and Lamar not being able to conceive? Are you having enough sex?
Well, I think it's the fact that we're both men.
That usually doesn't work.
I'm not
right.
a scientist, but I think that is a drawback.
It's probably a pretty good guess.
Yeah, so really, we're just trying it every possible way, trying to shake something loose. So wish us luck.
Okay, good luck shaking something loose.
Thank you.
Psycho Mike Catherwood, the last man who held his position and did it well, is going to be joining us after the top of the hour here. Oh, sorry, Beer Mug. Didn't know you were in the room. He'll be joining us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about how you can see him on the TV tonight. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Is Kevin Lisa going into the cold storage locker here at the studio? Is she going to get some fresh meat out for us?
Bean is here, and so it's now sub-zero in the studio, and I am prepared.
And it has nothing to do with the heating or the air conditioning system. It's just being around Bean.
Yeah. There's a cold wind thing. Yeah. Blowing.
He just puts off like this this really eerie chill.
He really chills the room.
You feel it down your spine.
How is it sub-zero if it's 35 degrees above freezing? How is that sub-zero, Lisa? Explain that to me.
Feels like sub-zero.
I'm no scientist. I'm no scientist either,
not a scientist.
Obviously.
It's just our facts.
You know how they account for wind?
Right.
You have to count for
bean.
It's
a bean chill factor.
I just make everything cold.
The bean chill factor.
I see.
Yeah. Let's talk showbiz because it's Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. No big changes because there were no major releases this past weekend. That means Twilight continues its stranglehold at the top of the list. Breaking Dawn Part 1 made $16.9 million. Made it number one this weekend, like last weekend and the weekend before that. The Muppets, number two at the box office with $11.2 million. I don't know if you caught Fox News Network this weekend at all, but there was a commentator on there saying that the Muppets are communists.
Excuse me?
The Muppets are communists because they all live together and they want to share everything equally. And in the new Muppets movie, the villain is an oil baron who's trying to tear down their theater for the property for the oil rights underneath it. And it's, oh, so I guess big business is bad now? I guess corporations are bad? Is that what we're teaching the kids? The communism of the Muppets?
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Commie the Frog and Ms. Commie and the rest of the Muppets.
And this person was saying this on television with a straight face?
Yes. Saying that we're teaching our kids all these Hollywood leftist perspectives and we're not making them appreciate big business enough. That's what keeps America going.
Okay.
Ugh. With your avatars and your...
It's the Muppets.
But haven't the kids been enjoying the Muppets for 40 years?
Yes, the communists have, yes.
All right.
The Russian kids have been enjoying the Muppets, not the American kids.
I thought it was almost uniquely American.
That's why I always liked Fraggle Rock, because they were hard-working miners, and that's why I liked Fraggle Rock better than the Muppets, because they had a corporation going, and that's what matters to kids.
I shouldn't ask this question, Ralph.
Then
but,
don't.
But I know that you'll know. What? Don't yell at me, but what's the difference between the Muppets and the Sesame Street characters? Are they all related at all, or are they completely separate universes that don't overlap?
Here we go.
I
don't know.
Here we go. It's
like, does Big Bird know Kermit or no?
No. Well, yes, of course Big Bird knows Kermit. Kermit is the only Muppet that travels between those two worlds.
Oh.
Kermit originated with as the first main puppet of Jim Henson's Menagerie, and appeared on TV in several forms before Sesame Street, but he was the star of Sesame Street.
Open up a blog.
And continues to be represented on Sesame Street.
But Miss Piggy would never be on Sesame Street.
We don't care!
Right?
Not to the best of my knowledge. I don't think she's ever been on Sesame Street.
It just seems like they should be...
Snuffleupagus does not know Fozzie Bear, for example.
Okay. All right.
Although I think Rolf the dog may have appeared on Sesame Street.
See, this is why now it's getting murky. It's getting murkier and murkier.
There may have been a couple of them who spent some time, but I know like Bert and Ernie have never been... On the Muppets.
Okay.
You know, they don't cross over that.
Because that would destroy the space-time continuum.
Not all Muppets are in Sesame Street, but all Sesame Street puppets are Muppets.
Hey, this is an important distinction, you guys. Come on.
It's one of those logic questions like you get in math class. You know?
Okay, thank you. I appreciate you taking my question
Pigs
seriously.
Are animals, but not all animals are pigs.
Gotcha.
In other words. hey, tell the paparazzi to calm down
in control
over there, will you?
They're bored.
They're out of control. Those paparazzi. Gary Dordan, of CSI Las Vegas. Remember him on that show?
Yes.
Played Warwick on that show. Mm-hmm. Tall, good-looking, swarthy African-American.
And then got mouthy and they killed him, right?
He was a bit of a troublemaker. Right. I think they booted him off the show. He's in trouble. Popped on charges of felony battery in Venice, California, when his ex-girlfriend was found hiding in an alley nursing a broken nose.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ralph, wasn't he the one that was caught with a trunkload of drugs?
Yep, sure was.
He is a bad egg. Gary was headed to court last Thursday, and the judge really pretty much let him have it, saying, I don't mess around with domestic violence charges, and he ordered him to stop contacting Nicole Cannizzaro, which is the name of the woman that he assaulted, for 3 years, or he will be thrown in jail. You really don't mess around, Judge. You told him, hey, stay away from her. You really know how to teach him a lesson. Wow. How about putting him in jail now? So that's bad news. And this Mindy McCready story, it just gets weirder and weirder. And for those of you who don't know, she's a country music star.
Yeah, she's crazy. What's the story?
She was in Celebrity Rehab.
She was on Celebrity Rehab. She's got a lot of issues. She's got a 5-year-old son that she lost custody of because she's a mess. So she takes her son from Cape Coral, Florida last month and just takes off with him. And then her mother, who is the child's caretaker, reports it to officials, and they have to hunt her down. And they found her hiding in a closet with her son in Arkansas.
Wow.
So the drama seems to be over for now. They've got the 5-year-old boy back in the care of her mother, where he belongs. But she's just announced she's 7 months pregnant with twins.
Kidding me.
Yeah.
Dude.
So there's two more lives now hanging the balance with this woman who has substance abuse problems and just some mental issues as well. That's a country song just waiting to be written, isn't it? Her life?
Forced sterilization.
Yeah, really. With one of those blow darts.
I bet they force sterilize in the Muppets communist world. The government decides who gets to have kids.
They decide
over
how
there.
Many you can have.
That's right.
I think Miss Piggy doesn't have any. I think they sterilized her. She's barren. Miss Piggy's barren.
Or she's doing it with a frog, and that's just never going to work.
Can't cross the species.
I hope not.
Today's celebrity birthdays, singer, songwriter, rock and roll legend Little Richard is 79 years old today. Singer Johnny Resnick, guitarist also of Goo Goo Dolls, is 46 years old. Margaret Cho, she fancies herself a comedian. She's 43. Amy Acker from Angel is 35. Nick Stahl from Terminator 3, Rise of the Machine, celebrates his 32nd birthday. Kerry Hilson is 29. Jessica Paré from Mad Men and Hot Tub Time Machine, 29 years old today. And Frankie Muniz of Malcolm in the Middle celebrates 26. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Some research here. Psycho Mike used to be on a radio show. Host of Loveline.
He's the Loveline lover boy. Psycho Mike.
Loveline lover boy, Mike Catherwood.
He does TV now.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Andrew Siciliano talks NFL coming up. We'll also check in with the TMZ newsroom. Highlights from the Miss Double December pageant this past Friday coming up as well. Speaking of Psycho Mike, who joins us on the phone now, when Mike left the show, Mike, how long ago? 6 months maybe? Something like that?
Let's go with it. Yeah.
Okay. 6 months ago, Mike's like, guys, I love you, but I'm blowing up, man. I'm too big. Thanks to my appearance on Dancing with the Stars, I'm unstoppable. I'm going to be on every TV show in the world. I'm too busy for Small Potatoes Radio in the morning. I need to be available to do TV. Not one time has he been on television. Not one. Oh. I'm starting to think that he's been making up all these TV appearances because nothing ever airs.
No, I just didn't want to be with you guys anymore.
I don't blame you, first of all.
Yeah.
But you're here today to tell us that finally one of the shows that you bragged about is actually going to hit the air. People will see you on their television screens.
To be fully truthful, it's finally I have a piece of television that I want like to be a part of.
Ah.
And I'm excited about. And you're exactly right. It begins tonight, and it all comes to a crescendo tomorrow night with a live show on Discovery. And it is the American Chopper Biker Build-Off. It's going to be awesome. It's the very first time ever in the history of Discovery Channel's motorcycle-based shows, they're putting the Tuttles, the junior and senior from American Chopper, together with Jesse James, and they're just going to go at it. And
just a love fest, right? I mean, just a love fest.
Those guys all get along, right?
Oh, you wouldn't believe it. They just hang out when the cameras are off, and they just hug each other, and they really... Wait. They all absolutely hate each other.
Sweet.
Like, absolutely deep-seated hate.
Okay. For folks who don't follow the motorcycle shows...
Yeah.
The Tuttles, obviously, I know from American Chopper. They've been doing their show for years, and that's a father and son who they butt heads on every single decision, okay? Jesse James is off. I mean, this is like the AFC playing the NFC, right? These are two different disciplines coming together. They've never worked together before, much less competed against one another, right?
Yeah, they've never worked together on TV or off TV. I mean, I was talking with Senior, Mr. Tuttle Senior, yesterday, and he had never even met Jesse, like, off camera, even in all his years of bike building and stuff. So
So they do not like each other, and they've never mixed on TV. You know, Discovery's never had the desire to put, you know, Monster Garage or any of Jesse's shows with American Chopper.
Why? And this is going to be awesome. They all hate each other. This is great.
Yes, and not only do they all hate each other, and not only are they building a bike, you know, in direct competition with the other two, they're going to be on stage with me. And as far as you know, junior and senior, they haven't talked at all in just under 2 years
to each other.
They have not talked to each other at all. They have just finished a lawsuit. They absolutely deeply hate each other. And so this is going to be the first time they're forced to kind of face each other and communicate. And so it's going to be all live Tuesday night at 9 on Discovery. And I'm kind of responsible for being the ringmaster.
Yeah, you're in the perfect position. You could go, oh, yeah, well, senior told me this. Oh, yeah, well, junior told me this.
Yeah, and I don't want to be that guy where I'm getting information behind their backs and then use it on stage, but I'm going to have to.
Yeah. Sure.
Now, Mike, they managed to play the Super Bowl on one day. Why does your little biker build-off require two?
I think you're right. I mean, look, mostly because I think for people who are either fans of the TV shows or fans of like bike culture and what they build, they want to stretch it out and get ratings at Discovery. And then also, they film so much with the American Chopper shows to kind of chronicle the animosity between junior and senior.
Also, people who don't watch will get caught up quickly.
Right. And that's what tonight's show is about, is not only like the stuff that I flew out to Austin and filmed with Jesse and the New York stuff with the OC Chopper guys, but also years and years of the American Chopper stuff leading up to this point, to why they actually started to sue each other, why one fired the other, why everybody hates each other. And so it's just kind of some backstory, some exposition and stuff.
Mike, good times. You'll make me really proud if you can get them to throw down like a Jerry Springer show. I mean, really make it your goal for people to drop punches, just haymakers.
It's so funny because, I mean, I'm sure Discovery's like really worried about that happening. You'd be great TV, but I'm pretty sure they're concerned about it because, you know, every guy, Jesse and both junior and senior, has their own personal bodyguards. And then there's like the stage security. And I watched Jesse walk in yesterday to the dressing room, and the security guard for Jesse James is standing outside his dressing room and escorting him around. And the guy makes me look like Shaquille O'Neal. He's about 5'5" and has clearly never been in any physical altercation. I'm like, why is he guarding Jesse, who was Slayer's bodyguard for 15 years and can kill people?
We're talking to Psycho Mike Catherwood here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the two nights on the Discovery Channel starting tonight. American Chopper Live, the build-off. I guess the bikes are revealed tonight, and then you can go on the Discovery website and vote, and then they unveil the winner tomorrow. That's with Mike on stage with all the participants at the Hard Rock Hotel in Las Vegas. It's funny, Mike. I went on the Discovery.com website earlier today. The trash-talking that's going on, particularly from the American Chopper fans, against Jesse James. So many people hate this dude, and I guess this is the first most high-profile thing he's done, you know, since the meltdown of a year ago or so.
Yeah, it's another little added, you know, wrinkle of intrigue with this, is that Jesse hasn't built not been on TV building bikes in a long time. He hasn't built a bike in a long time.
Right.
You know, with his controversies and stuff and the media scrutiny, he kind of moved out to Austin. He sold West Coast Choppers. He kind of divorced himself from everything going on in Long Beach, and he just stopped doing it. So this is his return to not only building bikes but to doing it on TV. So it's going to be interesting for him. I was talking to him off camera yesterday, he's kind of, you know, excited, like hoping this will be like cathartic for him to get back into the swing of things and do what he does best. You know, he feels that he really,
which is nail groupies, right?
which is why he went immediately to the which is Bill Bice, and I think he'll be the first to admit that he lost sight of that. Not trying to make excuses for what went on, but just he started to become like this Hollywood red carpet guy.
Well, because he had building a bike in the garage over here or 30 vaginas over there. We know which direction he's going to go. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, but really, a true gentleman can diversify and
shut
get
up.
Vagina and bike.
Mike talking about
Mike.
A true gentleman. All right. So you're proud of this. You think it's good TV. You think the Kevin and Bean audience should tune in.
I say that no matter how bad I am, which, you know, the possibility for me being bad is very high, this is going to be awesome because Love these it. Guys hate each other
okay.
so much.
And it's Psycho Mike proof. It's Psycho and Mike proof. Not even Mike could screw this up. This is such a gold premise.
These guys are so talented that even I can't ruin this.
And right. we should also just throw in there on the Discovery Channel tomorrow night, not only do you get the live winner revealed, but the band Bush is going to be there performing live. So people will be interested in that. All right, Psycho Mike. Great to catch up with you, man. Hope you're feeling better. We'll see you soon.
This is America, Kevin and Bean.
Right here. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 24 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Thanks once again to everybody who came down on Friday. We were in Fullerton, live at the Slide Bar like we do for the Miss Double December pageant. Congratulations to the lovely Joanna. She won the crown this year. We'll be seeing her again for Acoustic Christmas this weekend, one of her prizes. And you can go to KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com and see lots of photos from the event and a complete recap. They were live blogging the thing, so there's yep. a recap step-by-step. Plus, we'll have video going up later on today. And I think we got some audio highlights from Friday for folks who weren't able to listen.
From the very beginning of the show, we were professional. From 5:30 in the morning when we started, and our microphones were on, and we didn't know it.
I think we're going to give
it. Are we on? Is that it? Are we plotted it up?
But I have to figure out where to route it.
Beer Bug gives us the last 2 seconds of the song. That's how this broadcast is going to go.
Mumbles.
Yeah, so that happened. That's how it began. That was the beginning of the show.
Very professional.
This is Joanna singing.
They like my rack so much, they asked to triple team. If I win today, I will jump for joy. I'll shake, shake, shake my big, huge cans like a wrapped-up Christmas toy. Oh!
And I think it was at that moment that they decided that that was going to be the winner.
And I'll tell you this. Joanna says she's never entered any kind of competition before, but man, did she know how to work a crowd.
Yeah.
When you can get a triple team chant going.
Which we don't understand.
You're going to win.
Here's a chick that was going to spell, but she added a little twist to it in which she's taking off her clothes while spelling. Bean, who is a spelling, he's a crazy spelling over the top. He'll correct everybody, everywhere, every
How
time.
How dare you.
Listen to him at the end of this after she misspells the word brilliant.
B-R-I-L-L.
What's happening here? She's taking her shirt off. Does that help her spell?
T?
She forgot the I before
I don't
the
care.
A.
Yeah. Really. Shut up.
But she was stripping while she was spelling. You got to encourage that.
That was happening.
The letters
yes.
aren't what's important.
That was happening. At some point, the crowd did get rowdy, and I think I had to fight.
I would like for him to pay for a vacation for all of my friends and family to go back to, like, Dublin, Ireland, or some crazy place. Excuse me. What do you want? What do you want? This isn't Jerry Springer. I'm not done talking.
Snap! Snap!
Oh, no, you did!
Maybe she should have left insulting the crowd to me.
She was answering the question, if she could have anything for Christmas, what would Santa bring her?
Yeah.
She had some idea about taking the family to Ireland, and I think the crowd was hoping for something sexier, and they turned on her.
If it wasn't nudity,
right?
The crowd booed.
They wanted nothing to do with it.
And it got uglier and uglier.
That's right. Listen, people, we know you're having a great time, but it takes a lot of guts to come up here and do this, so don't be rude.
Now, what would you guess the crowd's reaction is going to be to that, to me?
Oh, it has to be a
silence,
giant
right?
F.U. cheer.
Now Kevin is flipping off the crowd.
As well he should.
The crowd will start throwing things momentarily.
No,
fight him,
that.
Kevin. Fight him.
Fight him, Kevin.
Fight each and every one of these bastards.
All right. So I went out and fought every one of them.
What made you think you were going to be able to threaten every person there? There must have been 1,000 people in
and
front
they were
of
all
that
drunk
stage,
too.
And you were going to fight all of them.
Dude, I could have.
You're just sticking up for your lady's honor.
I really sort of felt bad for the girls. I really did.
Yeah, it really, that was rough.
It really does take a lot of courage to stand up there. And then when the crowd's booing you, I mean, you want to run and cry.
Yeah.
So I was protecting them.
What celebrity would you like to kill if you knew you could get away with it?
All right. What celebrity would you like to kill if you knew you could get away with it? Justin Bieber? Any of the Kardashians?
Courtney Stodden?
Sure.
Those are
good choices.
The list is very long. The list does not include...
I would murder Angelina Jolie.
What?
No, wait. First, I would f*** her. Then I would murder her.
All right, so she got the crowd for a second, but then she went right back to murder, and then they turned on
her
again.
Like, who wants to kill Angelina Jolie? We don't kill the hot ones.
We had Doto down there.
The International Man of Mystery?
And he's the best. And he can never tell us apart on the phone because we really do sound a lot alike. And we don't really expect people to be able to tell us apart. But he was sitting there with us live.
Yes.
You know what? I'm not so sure, Bean.
That's Kevin. Kevin. That's actually Kevin.
Kevin.
You know, you can look at us right here and just see. You can see who's talking.
And by the way, he's 100% wrong.
Like every time.
When I'm talking, he always says Bean. When Bean's talking, he always says Bean. I don't know how he does it 100%. So then Bean is asking him, you know, if he's going to hit that.
Doto, would you date any of the Miss Double December contestants?
Why not, Bean? This is America.
This is America!
Yeah. USA! 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 USA!
Crowd's going crazy.
I can't believe that Doto was the most popular part of the entire live broadcast.
I think you're right.
People went berserk for him.
Joanna is our new Miss Double December 2012. Joanna, the big winner today.
It happened at about 9:40 when we found out that Joanna was the winner. And then Ralph went on to ask something that I thought was very inappropriate.
Joanna, if you would do us...
That doesn't seem like that's a nice thing to ask.
He clearly edited. He wasn't asking, would you do us? You edited.
Sounded like it.
He was saying, would you do us a favor and walk the runway? He was saying something else.
Joanna, if you would do us the great honor.
Christine just motorboated her.
Just got motorboated.
It doesn't get any better than getting motorboated. You can see all the photos. You can see my photos from my vantage point, which was really just ass. It was really just from behind.
You were very busy back there.
I was taking photos for the peeps. Go to krock.com.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. How about those Broncos, huh?
Yeah, great.
I talked to Andrew Siciliano about another unbelievable NFL weekend and that Giants-Packers game. Oh, my God. We'll talk to him coming up in a few minutes. Rob's got the showbiz beating minutes. But first, Monday means TMZ.com. Harvey's on vacation. The lovely Dax joins us from the TMZ newsroom. Hey, Dax. How are you, man?
Good. How about you guys?
Doing fine. How was your weekend, dude?
Awesome, and it's even better because my boss is out of town.
Yeah! You pretty much just run that place anyway, don't you?
I'm always surprised when I watch the TMZ television show, and I guess I shouldn't be because you guys generate a lot of content on your site, but you have so many people working in your newsroom all the time. Like, I can't figure out what that many people do.
Everyone has a job. That's the best part. Like, everyone is doing something. It's always crazy here. There's just a lot of celebrity news going on, so you got to have this many people kind of running the office.
Are a lot of people who are on phones calling to get confirmations or, you know, ask questions? Is that part of...
I would say we have maybe, like, under 10 actual reporters that are kind of doing that stuff. But then a lot of people you see in the meeting are editors for the TV show or writers for the show. So it's just kind of everyone that does stuff around the office comes together for the morning meeting.
Dax, be honest. Do you have more or fewer than 10 assistants?
Just one.
One.
Wow. All right, let's talk about what's new on TMZ.com. People who maybe have stayed away from it over the weekend don't know that Shaun White is the latest celebrity who's caught up in a sex tape or at least photo scandal. Of course, the great Olympian, friend of the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up with this, and who wants to see the flying tomato naked?
That's kind of what I was wondering, but people are interested. There's now an X-rated photo that's kind of going through the circuits, but it's trying to be sold off. So it's not something that just popped up online. Someone's legitimately trying to sell it off to the highest bidder, but it was taken back in 2009, right before he won the gold medal in the Winter X Games, and he was at a hotel party. And naked at the party, hanging out with a bunch of his friends.
This is what's wrong with cameras on your cell phone. I think that's it's a really bad thing and a good thing. Don't get me wrong, a lot comes from it as well. But then you're at a party and you got to go. Well, everybody's going to have a camera. It's going to
exactly,
be
and you're it's extremely no fun. Famous. So if people start whipping out their cell phones, maybe cover up. So basically, there's two photos. One is of him making out with his blonde chick, and
excellent.
The next one's naked on the bed. And it kind of shows a little bit of everything. And I guess that night, his friends tried to do damage control and get everyone to remove all the photos from their cameras and cell phones and all that stuff. But apparently, two survived, and now they're being shopped around.
What's the level of interest in guy nudity? I mean, unless it's Brad Pitt or George Clooney or somebody who's an AAA plus star, a guy like Shaun White, how many people even care?
I think people will look. I think it's the curiosity factor. You're going to be like, oh, does the red hair match the carpet?
Sure.
You know, that kind of thing.
You know, I could see the fallout then because he was about to participate in the Olympics and they don't cotton to that kind of thing. But now, is there any downside for him?
No. I don't think so. I just think this is part of his... I mean, this is just who Shaun White is. Who cares? I mean...
I think they unfortunately have to be worried about all of their sponsors and all
exactly,
that stuff.
Yeah.
Remember, I mean, it's just...
But not him, because you know his sponsors are going to be like, eh, more publicity.
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, all right, let's talk about somebody who needs a sponsor, and that is Brooke Mueller, Charlie Sheen's ex, who I am surprised to see still counts as a celebrity worth following. Like, once she wasn't with Charlie anymore, why do I care what she's involved
because
with, Dax?
She is just a mess. And if you guys remember, almost 2 years ago, it was when her and Charlie were in Aspen. They got arrested for the domestic violence. Well, over the weekend, she got rearrested in Aspen. Apparently, she was in a bar, and some woman is accusing her of a beatdown, some kind of assault. Well, Brooke ends up leaving that bar, walking a couple doors down, going into another bar like nothing happened, and we got this surveillance video. She's kind of dancing in. Well, come to find out, she had cocaine in her pocket because when the cops caught up with her, wanted to talk to her, they searched her and found some cocaine. So now she got arrested, got this pretty epic mugshot of her. I'm just like, stay out of Aspen.
Love it.
Aspen's not good for you.
No, agreed.
And I just, if I'm walking around with a bunch of drugs on me, I do everything I can to not be involved in the police. I don't put myself in a situation where somebody's going to search me.
Dude, you're talking as if she's not taking it, though.
Right.
If you're on cocaine, you're not thinking like that.
I guess.
It's like if you assault someone, hand off your cocaine to one of your friends.
Right.
Good advice, Dax. Well
before
done.
Before you assault somebody,
see, hand off the coke.
These are our lessons. Don't go to Aspen and hand off the coke.
Correct.
All right.
It just seems like common sense.
I think that's outstanding advice for the kids who might be listening. TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ Television. You got a great story out there about Johnny Depp and his bodyguards. Also, Miss USA being arrested. And more with Dr. Drew and his girlfriend, the Octomom, because he had those 14 babies with her, you know. All of that at TMZ.com. Thanks for coming on, dude.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, because it's Monday, that means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office, and it really hasn't changed that much since last Monday, because there were no major releases in the movie theaters this weekend. That means Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1 stayed on top of the box office pile for the third weekend in a row, and I do mean pile. Made an estimated $17 million at the box office, good enough to make it number one. The Muppets were number two with $11.2 million. Then Hugo. Everything is Hugo. I will go where you go.
I don't think that is
with
any...
a boy like Hugo.
How can I be wrong?
You don't know that song?
Nope.
It's from the legendary Broadway musical Bye Bye Birdie.
Right, but how is that relevant to this movie?
What
that
the hell?
Nothing to do
because
with
that. Because his name's Hugo.
Right, but it just... This is 40,
not interested.
40 years later, it's a completely different thing.
Yeah, you're right.
What's the point of this story?
I apologize.
Right?
Arthur Christmas was fourth. Happy Feet 2 was fifth. Not even any backup from Lisa. She's the Broadway queen. She's nothing. Just that cold, dead look on her face.
I thought she would be.
She's just wiping the frost off of her face, just trying to have a conversation.
She was right to be quiet because it should not be supported.
Jack and Jill, The Descendants, Immortals, Tower Heist, and Puss in Boots.
More people went to see the Adam Sandler sister movie than George Clooney in The Descendants.
Well, it's in limited. It's in less on less screens,
but
too,
still.
So I'm just saying. Puss in Boots, number 10. That rounds out your top 10 at the box office. This weekend, it is the perfect world colliding for Kevin when geekdom and politics cross swords.
Oh, dear God.
You know, Herman Cain, your buddy, Kevin.
He was my buddy.
Because you loved him. He was your guy.
I don't love anyone.
Everything went south when it found out he was sexually harassing his female friends.
I hate all politicians.
Having a 13-year affair behind his wife's back. Things started to go south.
Right.
He had to pull out. He had to withdraw from the presidential race.
Right. Got it.
And as he was leaving, he came clean on a couple things. My favorite was the fact that in his stump speech, a speech he gave over and over again on the campaign trail, people kept asking him, those lines you're using, they're awfully familiar. And he goes, oh, yes, those were from the lyrics of the closing song of the 2000 Olympics.
What?
And then they go, no, that's not it. Oh, no, a poet wrote those words that I'm using. These are the words he used over and over again in his speech. Life can be a challenge. Life can seem impossible. It's never easy when there's so much on the line. But you and I can make a difference. There's a mission just for you and me.
What's that from?
Turns out those lines are from the theme song to the Pokemon movie, Pokemon 2000. He was quoting Pokemon in his campaign speech.
Now I'm sad that he's out of the race.
Someone brought it up as he was leaving.
Sweet.
Leaving the presidential candidate race, they said, aren't those lines, in fact, from the Pokemon movie? Well, he's got nothing to lose, he said. I believe those words, yes, came from the Pokemon movie.
Love it. Finally, a candidate Dave will vote for.
Yeah. Oh, I love Pikachu. And Larry King had a special on television this weekend, and I didn't even know about it, and I'm so sorry I missed it.
I taped it, but it looked really cool. It's like the old Dinner with Friends show with our buddy Jon Favreau.
Dinner with King was called. Larry King hosting a dinner at his house with his wife, Sean, and a camera crew.
I would tape that because I think it sounds horrible.
Wait to hear who was at the dinner, though.
Here's sitting at his table, his dinner table.
All right.
Conan O'Brien. Okay. Seth MacFarlane.
Come on.
Tyra Banks. Shaquille O'Neal.
What?
Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. Quincy Jones and comedian Russell Brand.
Come on with the come on, right?
What? All breaking bread with Larry at his home and his wife, lovely wife, Sean, and a film crew filming the whole thing.
I don't know any of you, but you're terrific. Wow, great. That's a shocker.
You know what else shocked his guests is when it came up when Larry announced, when he dies, Larry said, and I quote, I want to be frozen.
All right.
On the hope that they'll find whatever I died of and they'll bring me back.
Hey, a lot of rich people have thought that in the past, is give me another shot at it when they crack whatever killed me.
He said, I don't believe in an afterlife. I don't think you go anywhere. Conan O'Brien said, this is big news. You want your head cut off and be frozen? And this was after Russell Brand admitted he went through King's wife's underwear drawer. Apparently, it was quite the festive evening. By the way, Tyra Banks said during the course of the evening hateable Tyra Banks that we all despise.
Yes. She's the worst.
That is just a persona she's created.
Interesting.
She wants to be hated?
She's sensitive beer mug. I created a persona.
That's not me.
It's a character. In fact, I'm in coaching to learn how to be confrontational. She's so nice. She has a hard time even confronting people.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
So that fierce persona that she has as the host of America's Next Top Model,
yes.
That badass.
That's Tuki de la Creme or whatever from her Modeland book,
that's
man.
Just her playing
a
character.
Not the real Tyra.
I see. See how stupid that sounds, Beer Mug, when people try to,
pass
try
it
to
off
convince us that it's not
persona?
Them.
Yeah, it sounds dumb. He's shaking his head yes, for those of you that can't see him.
Can't see through the radio.
Dumbass.
Get to know me, and then you'll like me.
Let's go have coffee.
We'll have coffee. It'll be outrageous.
It's amazing.
It's my persona. He's on Oprah. Can't believe I missed that special. Larry King wants his head frozen. Tyra Banks is a liar.
They're airing it again on Saturday.
Russell Brand's going through underwear drawers. This is the best.
Russell Brand gets up in the middle of the special and goes like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. And he instead goes upstairs into Larry's bedroom and starts rifling through the underwear drawer. And nobody, I mean, it wasn't planned. It was just something he did on the spur of the moment.
It's awesome.
What kind of process do we have where you know all that and you don't think to email us and go, hey, we should play some clips?
I thought you guys had a grid on your TV also that indicates what shows are coming up.
But we don't watch every single thing. When one of us sees something interesting.
I don't have a Larry King Google alert that tells me when he's going to be on television.
All I'm saying is when one of us sees something interesting, we make it known.
Don't miss this.
Right.
This sounds good. Let's all tune in.
I just assumed you guys knew about it. Sorry. I would be frozen, by the way, if I thought it would work.
We want information from him. He won't give it up.
He won't.
When you desperately want him to keep his mouth shut, nothing but key information comes flying out. Hey, you know they just found the bell to the Edmund Fitzgerald this morning? I don't need that. I need to know Larry King's got an incredibly weird special on this weekend.
He wants to be frozen.
Right.
Be brought back to life in 100 years or whatever.
Did you say you would like to do that?
I would totally like to do that. What do you have to lose? I mean, you're dead anyway. If it doesn't work, you're just as dead. If it does work, if they do figure it out.
But it doesn't
you
work. It doesn't work.
So
what are
far,
you doing?
It doesn't work so far.
Yeah. Because the damage that would be done to your cell on the cellular level of freezing your body would be the biggest problem, even if they cured cancer or whatever it is that killed you.
What's the downside of spending every penny you have on your deathbed that it might work? You can't take it with you. You're just
when you
as
wake
dead.
Up, you're broke. You wake up, you're frozen, and you're broke. You're very cold, and you are poor.
And you feel terrible because you're still 90.
You brought your life back. You know what you are now? An old, poor, cold person.
So it's better
to
be dead.
Is that the life you wanted to have?
Yes, it is. That's a great answer. That is the problem.
Damn. Today's celebrity birthdays, Frankie Muniz of Malcolm in the Middle. He's 26 years old today. Jessica Perret from Mad Men and Hot Tub Time Machine. That scene with Craig Robinson in the hot tub?
Yeah.
That's a good deal right there. Good. 29 years old, Kerry Hilson.
Yeah.
29 years old today. Actor Nick Stahl is 32. Amy Acker from the Angel TV series is 35. Margaret Cho is 43 years old today.
Oh,
Chewbacca missed the gong the first time. John Resnick of Goo Goo Dolls is 46 years old, and Little Richard, one of the creators of rock and roll as we know it, 79 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How about Andrew Siciliano from the DirecTV Red Zone channel on Sundays, NFL Total Access, Monday through Thursday on the NFL Network, joins us right now on the phone. Hey, Andrew, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys. How's your weekend?
Very, very good. Thank you for asking. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys and how stupid they are.
Do I hear a Cardinal fan?
Come on. I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan. We have nothing to cheer about this year.
All right. Well, first of all, Cardinal fans need to be applauded, like maybe the one that's listening, because they actually made noise yesterday for the home team.
That
is normally a Cowboys home game, as Kevin can attest.
Yep.
That is their home away from home, and that place was loud, at least, you know, for my perch in the television studio about 1,000 miles away.
Sure.
It was loud for the Cardinals and not the Cowboys. And then Jason Garrett decided to ice his own kicker and get the game away.
Calls a timeout while his own kicker is kicking a field goal. The kicker makes it, doesn't count. Kicker kicks again, misses it.
Did we ever find out why we didn't see the postgame, Andrew? What was the reason?
Yeah, he said that he wanted to make sure that everyone was lined up properly and that they weren't rushing and that they took their time and that games on the line. They wanted to make sure they got it right. Now, the thing is, they got to the 31-yard line. They made no effort. Romo converts a pass. It's third down. He throws completion, I believe, Dez Bryant. They get to the 31-yard line. At that point, it's a 48, 49-yard field goal. It's not in any way a gimme. But instead of calling one of the two timeouts they had at that point, they just lollygag to the line and spike the ball and kill like 20, 22 seconds, something like that.
Unbelievable.
So they wind the clock down to 7. At that point, they can't run another play. They have to kick it. You could have run to the line. Or forget about running the line. Just call timeout. You had two of them.
Yep.
Run another play. Pick up another 5 yards. At that point, you call a timeout. At that point, it's a shorter kick.
So the kicker makes the one that doesn't count. And then when it does count, he misses. It goes into overtime. And Arizona wins.
Exactly.
Have you ever seen anything like that before, Andrew?
I've seen coaches take bad timeouts before kicks, and it's happened plenty of times where timeouts are taken, the kick goes through, and a lot of times you got to realize the kicker knows the timeout's coming, especially when it comes from the opposing coach. So your mental preparation isn't necessarily the same. Some would argue you're looser because you know it's not going to count.
Yeah,
you know
I
what
see.
I'm saying.
Right, right.
But when you're own coach.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It's unbelievable.
That's when you probably didn't see it coming. And here's the thing. He's a rookie kicker. Now, he's been almost perfect. He missed earlier in that game. His name is Dan Bailey. He missed earlier in that game, and that was his first miss since week 2, since September 18th.
Yeah, he's been great.
How about that? All right, let's talk about some other NFL games with our friend Andrew Siciliano here on the Kevin Amin Show. Another fantastic weekend. What do you have to say about the way the Giants-Packers game ended? Could it have been more exciting? I mean, it's been very rare that the Packers haven't been leading so far that it's barely worth watching the fourth quarter, but man, was that exciting.
Well, I'll take off what you said right there. The Packers have now won 18 consecutive games over the span of 2 seasons, including the playoffs last year. In those 18 consecutive wins, they still have not trailed in the fourth quarter. And that still holds because the Giants tied the game. They never took the lead. So no one's even, well, not even. I mean, there have been some close calls, certainly. But for the most part, no one is close to them in the fourth quarter. The fact that they were close against a good Giants team, but a team that gave up like 50 points on Monday night to the Saints last week.
Yeah.
You know, we wrote the Giants off for dead last Monday night. I remember on Total Access Monday morning, we asked the question on Monday afternoon, can the Giants stay competitive? Not can they beat the Packers. Can they stay competitive with the Packers?
Well, I'll tell you when they couldn't stay competitive was when there was 53 seconds left. And that's when, you know, the Saints come out. They get into field goal position. I mean, they could have done 10 more plays. They were getting nothing but space.
All right, here's something for Laker fans to consider. You know, when we watch Kobe, we argue Kobe or Jordan or whomever you want to throw out there is the greatest of all time. And we say that Kobe's playing the game better than anyone ever has played it at his position. And then people say, no, Michael. And then you go back and forth, Kobe, Michael, Kobe, Michael. We could definitively say that Aaron Rodgers is playing quarterback this year better than anyone has ever played the position.
Wow.
how good his one season has been. Now, when all is said and done, he may not break Marino's passing record for yardage, 5,084, and he may not break Brady's touchdown record, which is 50. He's going to get right up to those numbers. But overall, most people will tell you that they've never seen a quarterback play as well right now in one season than Aaron Rodgers.
Wow. That's some heavy praise for a sport that's been around for a long time. One more for you, Andrew, and that is, how can we not mention Tim Tebow again? Like, what's this guy's deal with never being able to have a lead in the fourth quarter? He has to have a comeback?
Yeah, well, look, his defense gets credit. We always said, and he gets credit, certainly, they all get credit. We always said that, all right, let's see him have to score 30 to win. He scored 35 yesterday to win.
Yeah.
The team, I mean, look, the defense, the running game, the kicker, everyone came together. And Andre Goodman picked off the other quarterback, who's a rookie, Christian Ponder, and gave the Broncos a chance to win at the end. But he's 5-0 on the road. I mean, veteran quarterbacks don't go 5-0 on the road. Tim Tebow is 5-0 on the road, and here's the better part, or Raider fans don't want to hear this. They went from 1-4 to now 7-5, and because of tiebreakers, they are now in first ahead of the Raiders.
But they're not going to win the Super Bowl, right?
No.
All right, good.
You can quote me no, but no one would have told you that he would have gone 6-1.
Tell Andrew why you asked that question,
because a listener wanted me to bet on the Broncos before the season in Vegas to win the Super Bowl.
For recreational purposes.
Of course.
No, it's legal in Vegas. In Vegas.
It's legal, right?
Okay.
Put the $20 down, lost the ticket. So now I'm on the hook for $1,200.
Yeah, it was 60-1.
And you put down $20 and lost the ticket?
He lost the ticket. So now he feels like, and he is, he's on the hook if they end up winning the Super Bowl. He's going to have to cough out that money to the listeners since Kevin lost the ticket.
At least it wasn't like $500.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Oh, if $1,200, you want to pitch in?
No, I don't. It's your fault.
Andrew Siciliano, host of the DirecTV Red Zone channel on Sundays on DirecTV, and then NFL Total Access again this afternoon at 4 on the NFL Network. Tonight's Chargers-Jaguars, you'll be on before and after the game, right, Andrew?
That is correct, as those two teams fight for the right to move to L.A.
Exactly. Well said. Thanks for coming on, dude.
You got it.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Why are all the listeners upset at us now? What's our latest problem?
Yes, we've gotten the emails. We know that we're already into the first week of December, and there's been no wing singing Santa on a Helicopter. We'll take care of that for you on tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, how about tickets in the pit to your choice of nights? Do you want to be there with us Saturday or Sunday? You can win those.
And you can win those in the pit. You don't get them in the pit. You win them, and then you go into the pit.
I think people know what you're talking about. That's all tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean.